Oh, wait. Look at that.
Oh.
Phone ringing.
All right, Holmes, listening.
Are you ready, Rich?
Yeah, no, no.
Are you excited?
No, I mean,
it's pre-Ramon.
I'm not ready at all.
Okay.
I don't even know what I'm doing.
Okay, I'm answering it.
Do we have your papers?
I need your papers.
All right, I'm fine. I'm gonna.
Hello, the Rick Emerson Show. Yes, he sure is. May I ask you calling?
Ricky Ramon.
Oh, very nice to hear from you. How are you today? Okay, hang on just a
second. It's Dick Giuliano.
Actually asked for you, Rick.
Wow. Fantastic, actually. My name.
All right, there you go. Well, in the pantheon of rock and roll legends, the name the Ramones looms large. Ever look, I'm not going to tell anybody anything they don't know. Anybody who knows me, anybody who's listened to this program, anybody who saw Bigger Than Jesus know that the Ramones had a huge impact, not just on my life, but every whether you know it or not, everybody who has picked up a guitar in the last 30 years has gone through a couple schools of playing before they arrive at whatever their own style is. It used to be that everybody went through the Chuck Berry school of playing. Everybody kind of went through that Eddie Van Halen school of playing for a while. There is a Ramones sound. There is a distinctive sound and style created by, honed by, polished by the Ramones, and their shadow just grows larger with every passing generation. Marky Ramone, of course, was the drummer for the punk rock group The Ramones, and joined on the Road to Ruin album, played on some of their biggest hits, and then rejoined later on in the career all the way through to the end to Adios Amigos. Marky Ramone will be playing at Dante's June 14th. Showtime is 9:30 p.m. and the website is danteslive.com. Touring for his new album, Start of the Century. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Marky Ramone. Marky, hi.
Hello, that was a great intro. How are you?
Can I just tell you this? Normally I try to be a very polished professional. I try to come here and I try to convey information to the people and be a professional serious broadcaster. But as Sarah, my producer here, will tell you, that it really is a matter today of just not sitting behind the microphone going, you're a Ramone! It's so great!
He's just trying to hold back right now.
I'm trying not to sound like a giggling idiot fanboy because, A, you got to get that all the time. I mean, if I was a Ramone, I would stand in front of the mirror all day, looking at my driver's license, back at the mirror. It's like looking at, it's like being Hugh Hefner. You just look at me and go, I'm Hugh Hefner.
He actually wrote a song about wanting to be a Ramone as well.
I've actually written songs about wishing to be a Ramone. It is, when, let me ask you this, just to go way back, and then we'll talk, about what you did with Ramones, and then we'll talk about Start of the Century, which you're going to be coming here to support. And by the way, anybody out there, you got a question from Marky Ramone, it's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. Long story short, how does one become a Ramone? Did the clouds part and, like, the hand of God came down and said, you shall be known as Marky Ramone? How did that happen?
Well, Tommy Ramone was a good friend of mine, and he was leaving the band in 77, late 77. He approached because he wanted to produce, so he asked me to join the band, and officially in, I think it was April of 78 or March, I joined the band, and all because of that reason, and I just ended up being with the band for 15 years off and on. So that's how simple it was. We all knew each other because I was with a band called Richard Hell and the Vortoids, who was on the same label as the Ramones, which was Sire Records. So we all kind of knew each other from hanging around CBGB's and another club called Max's Kansas City. So that's how I became a Ramone. I didn't want to change my name to Ramone in the beginning, but then I realized that it flowed better to keep it Marky instead of Mark. My grandmother used to call me Marky, so I figured, okay, then why not? You know, so that's how it started.
And you are, as they say, New York. You were from the neighborhood. You're from Brooklyn.
Oh, right? Yeah, yeah. They're from Queens. I'm from Brooklyn. That's about 3 miles away from Brooklyn. Manhattan's about a half a mile away from Brooklyn, and so is Queens. You just go over the bridges, and you're there. And the watering hole was CBGB's for all of us.
Do you think it's, you guys being such a band that is closely identified with New York, and in fact there is now in front of CBGB's, there's, what is it, it's Joey Ramone Way, or Joey Ramone Place. Joey Ramone Place?
We went to the city, everybody here, and they agreed to do it, and that's what it was. They changed the street and put up Joey Ramone Place right next to CBGB's. It's about 100 feet away, CBGB's, from that street.
A couple years back, you put out a DVD. It was called Ramones Raw, and it's a lot of footage of the Ramones all over the world. It's strange because you guys, again, are so closely identified with New York, yet you listen to the Ramones, and maybe a lot of people maybe don't really appreciate this. It is such a... It's such a California sound, almost, in so many ways. It's almost like the Beach Boys sort of put into a blender and just made three times as fast and 10 times as loud. Was that intentional? Was it what you guys listened to that gave it that sound?
When we were kids, we liked the Beach Boys. We liked Jan and Dean. We liked the instrumental surf sound. We liked Phil Spector stuff. We liked the British Invasion. So what you do, what we did was we just mixed it up, and that was the omelet that came out, the Ramones. And we obviously, back then, they didn't have big marshals. So we sped up the songs a little bit, counted them off, 1, 2, 3, 4, one after another. And that's basically our influence. The Ramones are basically an oldies band that was modernized by electricity and powerful amplifiers. So that's really what we were.
And I don't think a lot of people a lot of people are so familiar with the band in terms of iconography. In other words, even people, they know the black jackets, the white shirt, they know that logo.
Right, right.
And you go back, and those are just really great, classic. And when I mean classic, I mean they sound like a classic American rock and roll. But as you said, it's louder, and it's faster. And your first album with Ramones was Road to Ruin, if I'm correct.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was, I mean, you look at that album right there. It is staggering when you look through the Ramones discography. And there is, just that album alone, there's I Want to Be Sedated.
Yeah.
And Questioningly, and I Just Want to Have Something to Do. Did you guys know when you recorded these albums? Because I think critical and commercial respect, I think, was a little later in coming than it should have been. Did you guys know when you were recording these that this was music that was still going to be having an influence or stand-up? Did you even think about it at the time?
No, we just went in, did the songs. I did about 2 takes on each song. The first song I recorded was I Want to Be Sedated. But no, we had no idea. What was happening at the time was this huge stadium rock with 10-minute guitar solos and, 10-minute drum solos. And what was going on was you would buy an album and there would only be 3 songs on each side.
Absolutely.
So that was the problem, and we were pissed off about that because you were losing the essence of rock and roll, and that's what Jerry Lee Lewis was about, Chuck Berry, Little Richard, Elvis Presley, and all those great guys who started it, and it was disappearing because rock was starting to fuse. You had jazz rock, blues rock, the essence was gone. So when the Ramones' first album came out, it's all really what we wanted to do was to do 2-minute songs, relate to a youth, and that was the outcome.
We're talking to Marky Ramone. He's coming to Portland, by the way, on June 14th. New album out called Start of the Century. And when you did you feel a lot of pressure stepping on to that drum stool after Tommy Ramone? Were you nervous about that, or did you feel like, hey man, I can do this? I was born to be a Ramone.
Well, I knew the style already from hanging out at CBGB's and going to the shows. It really was just eighth notes all around, and Tommy, along with Johnny and Dee Dee, created that style. I stepped in and kind of made it a little heavier, a little more fuller. Tommy did a great job, but he wanted to produce, so they needed someone. So what I did was I got a tape of 45 songs, 30 songs of their live show, and 15, I think, for Road to Ruin, or 14. And I had to learn all those songs in 2 weeks, and I had to be ready in 2 weeks to record Road to Ruin. So they had all these shows booked, and I just sat there on a drum pad, headphones, through a cassette deck, and played about 7 hours a day until I got it down. And then we started rehearsing in the studio, and then that was it.
We're talking to Marky Ramone. We're talking about the production techniques, and then, you know, because one of the reasons that you know, Tommy, when he left the group, it was to take a firmer hand in production, and then you were there for what a lot of people consider a definitive, or at least a landmark album, which is End of the Century, produced by Phil Spector. And tell me a little bit about, because you hear, I mean, let's be blunt about it, you hear so much about how Phil Spector was just crazy. He was a loon, and it's so hard to separate myth from reality. You hear about him waving a gun. They're making people do 500 takes of a song. Was Phil Spector, was he that kind of nutty, or is that hype?
Well, he didn't do that to us. We came from the same neighborhood. He was from Brooklyn in the Bronx, and I was from Brooklyn, and they're from Queens. Kind of all knew our vibe. He's a great friend. Joey loved him. I love him. And Johnny and Didi couldn't deal working with him because he worked slow. The Ramones worked fast. But Joey and I understood that this is a master producer, the best there ever was in America, the most legendary. And, you know, he had guns. He had a license to carry, and he would wave them around, but he would never point them at anybody. And he liked to indulge in drinking, and when he did that, he got a little off, and that was probably the reason. But you know, he was eccentric, and that's what happens. But we did an okay album, and he's still around today. Hopefully, he gets to his justice because of his court case. And I hope that, you know, he's able to do something in the future. But no, a lot of the things that were said about him might have happened with other people, but not with us. I didn't see that. He didn't lock us up in his mansion.
You weren't like Ronnie Spector being kept in a dungeon somewhere in the basement.
We left any time we wanted. He was just having fun. We were just listening to the playbacks of the End of the Century album when we did it. And we were there at 3-4 in the morning. That's really all it was.
What did you think, as a guy, who, you know, you're in the Ramones, you're there. He's talked about the first song recorded with them was I Want to Be Sedated, which is great, very stripped down, a legendary one-note guitar solo. What did you think the first time you're there in the studio and they're playing back that End of the Century stuff, and it's like on Do You Remember Rock and Roll Radio, where it's this huge, monstrous sound. At any point did you think, like, this is not going to, people aren't going to like this, it doesn't sound like the Ramones? Did you guys worry about that?
Well, what we were listening to back was the basic tracks of just the Ramones. That the other overdubs weren't even on yet. Right. We heard that later on. Me and Joey were very thrilled because it was basically our wall of sound and Phil's wall of sound. So it was a different album. It was an experiment. It came out good. I appreciate the album a lot more now because of the song selection. There's good songs on there. Did I like it as much as Road to Ruin or Rocket to Russia when it came out? No. But as time goes by, I realize what the intentions were, and it worked out pretty well.
Do you think that there's the documentary, the same name, End of the Century? Do you think that the rest of the band or the individual members have been, you think they've been shown fairly? I mean, I guess we're talking about Johnny here. A lot of that, Johnny sort of gets depicted sometimes as being a real hard nose, you know, and a real hard ass about things, and maybe not the easiest guy in the world to get along with. Do you think that that's the media looking for something that wasn't there, or do you think that that's, you know, was there that kind of tension that kept the band going?
Well, End of the Century basically is one director's point of view. He put in basically the negative side of it, but the Ramones were a lot of fun. We wouldn't have stayed together 22 years. John, it was good that he was like that. Him and Joey didn't talk for 18 years because of a girlfriend. And me and Didi were the best of friends. But, you know, he could be hard. He never came off hard to me about it, but he knew them when they were growing up. So who knows what, you know, you're 13, 14 years old, what happened as young teenagers. You could harbor resentments towards each other and never let it go. So that could have, went over or spilt over into the Ramones when they got together, you know. But, we were all different individuals. Yeah. Joey was the front man, quiet guy, very introverted. Didi was a whirlwind hurricane. I mean, the guy just couldn't sit still. He was a riot, and I was there in the middle all the time trying to keep Joey and Johnny from, wow, you know, killing each other, and you know, just trying to like ease the pressure of the animosities that sometimes came along.
We're talking with Marky Ramone. The website, by the way, is danteslive.com. And do you have a website of your own?
Yeah, you can go to Ramones.com and click on to Marky, or you can go to MySpace, Marky Ramone, you know.
And you've got to tell me a little bit about Start of the Century. You're coming to town on that, and this is a two-disc set, and I know there's some originals, there's some classics, there's some covers. Tell me about Start of the Century.
After the Ramones broke up, I had all these songs that I wrote, and I wanted to record them. So I was very impulsive and recorded them, a good quality and a 24-track analog equipment. And the record companies that were suggested to me weren't the right companies to distribute this kind of music. So I recorded the albums. There's 30, I think 29 and 30 songs that are recorded in the studio on Start of the Century, and now I own the rights to them. Luckily, I just put them out, and that's the result, that album. And it's two albums on one disc, but it took 8 years to get the rights back. The live show was done in Mexico through a mobile unit, and a lot of Mexican people don't understand English. So I would talk into the mic, and every little thing that I said, they would clap to. if I would have said I had to go to the bathroom,
they would applaud.
They would have applauded and clapped. There was a mic over the audience with a wire that was just hanging in the middle of the Hard Rock and the festivals. So what you get there is just the passion of the Mexican audience. Really, really liking the show, which is we did about 28 songs, but on the disc there's 18 Ramon songs. But in the live show that I will be doing, I'll do about 28 Ramon songs.
Fantastic. The album is called Start of the Century. The website is danteslive.com. You can go to ramones.com. I mean, so much more to say. You're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You were on Don't Worry About Me, which was Joey's posthumous album, which is great.
Thank you.
It is. You know, it's kind of the Ramones world, my friend, and we're just living in it. So
I hope to see everybody come out, and I hope to see you there.
I will absolutely be there. The Rick Emerson Show. We are big Ramones fans, all of us here.
And it's the 30th. Also, it's the 30th anniversary of the first album that was released. So I figured it was good to come out and do some songs for everyone, and I enjoy playing them. And You know what it is? They're too good not to be played.
Truer words were never spoken, my friend. Marky Ramone. Marky, thank you so much. We appreciate it. And we will definitely be there on the 14th at Dante's. Thank you so much.
All right.
All right. There you go. Marky Ramone, ladies and gentlemen. Man, can't get any better than that.